listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Oh, it's been a while. You're on Reality Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. It's been a while since we've had, what, our...
Yeah, it's been a while.
Our political muse, Tane Webster. Good morning, Tane.
Good morning, Rodney. How are you?
I'm great. You've been too busy.
Yeah, I've had some big changes. Broke up with my girlfriend and a few other things like that.
Who did the breaking up? Was it mutual or was it a more...
Yeah, it was mutual. We just weren't quite the one for each other, the one, you know. So
you young kids.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about New Zealand's energy crisis.
I'm still upset. I'm still getting over you breaking up with your girlfriend. To be fair, I didn't know you had one. So I'm sort of mortified twice over. Oh. Oh, that's sad. Okay, I'm right now.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, the energy crisis, there's been a lot in the news recently. I wanted to get your thoughts on what you would do or what changes you might make if you were in charge to solve such a problem. But also just firstly to point out a few interesting news from the political side on that issue. The ACT Party, Simon Court, has put forward this idea for a cross-party stance, inviting both the opposition and the current government together to give confidence to companies so that they can invest in natural gas exploration and whatnot in New Zealand, because there's this worry that even if the government that's in power right now changes the laws or whatever and encourages that sort of investment, the businesses might not take up the offer if they're worried that it's going to change in 6 years or 3 years or whenever.
Yes, totally. We're a little fly speck on the world stage. And Jacinda Ardern, in terms of energy exploration and prospecting and development, destroyed our reputation because she unilaterally went out and just said, we're not doing this anymore. And that's the problem now, that if we did open it up, companies would look at us and say, well, yeah, I could go down there, spend a great deal of money, and the government change and we get kicked out again. It was a disgusting move that she did. But it's a deeper problem than that, Tane, because since the 1960s, there's been an active campaign to demonize energy production and to say that we didn't need it. Not only did we not need it, but actually to develop it was a big negative for the planet and for humanity. So picture New Zealand when they first did the first dam and you got lights in your house. It was unbelievable. And there was a boom post-war and before the war of dam building and power production. And New Zealand boomed because industry is built on energy. And of course, cheap energy. Cheap energy is just the number one thing to grow an economy. Now, for some reason, and I think behind it all, is actually a hatred of modernity, hatred of success, hatred of capitalism, hatred of the nuclear family, hatred of all the things that we had and we'd built. And that hatred turned on us as people. And it was one of the core attacks was to destroy a country's ability to produce energy. And they did this by attacking dams so we could no longer build dams. They did this by attacking coal, so we could no longer burn coal for fuel because of, quote, global warming, which was entirely manufactured. And, of course, the great elixir, the great promise of a hugely prosperous and free future is nuclear power. And so they demonized nuclear power. And so here we are in New Zealand now. We have got limited ability, I think, to dam more dams. Interesting, an engineer told me that all the dams that were built were identified in the early 1900s, 1903 or something, by a British engineer. So just the geography was great for building dams, but we've pretty much done that. But we've got untold coal. Untold coal, particularly down in Southland. We've got lignite coal. We could be, we are energy rich beyond our dreams, but we're not allowed to touch it. There's no doubt we've got oil and gas offshore. We're not even allowed to look for it. We actually don't need nuclear, but of course we're not allowed to go nuclear either, which is crazy. And so here we are, choking off industry, killing off existing industry, but choking off any prospect for new industry. And the stupid thing is, these elites, the bureaucrats, the politicians, the academics, they sit atop, at the top of the tree, sucking up more energy than we can imagine. Because your little phone and the data that you use, big usage of energy. Data centers are huge consumers of energy. And to all these people that sit in a nice shiny office making movies or whatever, big consumer, they got air conditioning in the works, big consumers of energy, but they won't let it be developed and they don't care about business and they don't care about people that are struggling to make ends meet. I used to visit elderly constituents who were freezing in their little houses. And they'd have the equivalent of a 2-bar heater, and to save money would turn it down to 1 bar and wrap themselves in a dressing gown and a rug and a hot water bottle to keep warm. While the people that were telling them that we had to pay more for power to conserve it were jetting around the world extolling their virtue. This stuff is disgusting, Tane. And we have the energy resources. What we have to do is realize that we're being lied to about the dangers of global warming and about the dangers of nuclear power.
I think in the first instance, get
that across, and we could be rich beyond our dreams and provide for people.
Yeah, I'm interested in hearing more about nuclear power, but in the first instance, we've got plenty of things that are more readily available that we can get going in the immediate short term.
We've got the biggest field you can imagine down in Southland, lignites, and the government was actively pursuing it in the 70s. They actually set up an organisation to study it, and then it was just canned because it was deemed not a good thing to dig up coal. The West Coast has got the best coal in the world, not allowed to extract it.
So what would you do if you were, like, policy-wise? I mean, the cross-party stance being called for, you would agree that's quite important because
But Labor won't agree, the Greens won't agree, so it's a stunt.
Right.
And they won't agree because there's enough people voting who believe that these invented problems are real. And they're frightened by it. And they literally don't make a connection between people unable to make ends meet and energy prices. And so they go along with it. You know, imagine paying what we have to pay for petrol when over half of it is tax. Imagine this. There's no reason for house prices to be high other than government. So you could drop house prices 50% literally overnight by freeing up land use. Got untold acres of land. Imagine if you could get a house for half the price of what you can pay the difference that would make to young families who would otherwise be struggling with a big mortgage. That'd be
well, and then we start to solve other problems as well. Like we've got this decline in fertility, decline in
absolutely
family formation.
Absolutely. So house prices literally keep us poor, and there's no need for it other than governments and councils preventing us from accessing land to build houses upon. Then you've got energy prices, which trickle through to everything. And if you had the will, that could be solved overnight, literally too. So there are two things that are keeping people impoverished. And you could almost say this, in a young family, one of the couple is having to work just to cover the extra mortgage for inflated land prices and inflated energy bills. They could be twice as well off.
Yeah, you just start to solve multiple problems. I mean, having one of the parents at home means also there's more people keeping an eye on what they're being taught at schools, which, you know, flows into those other issues yes. that we often talk about on RCR.
But you can see what it does too. They keep us poor and struggling. No one questions house prices. And, of course, half of New Zealand is sitting there thinking, I've done very well. I bought this house cheaper. Now it's worth a lot of money. They hate the thought of the government making cheap houses.
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
You just look at what a eighth of an acre costs in New Zealand anywhere. It's outrageous. And you could go across the boundary and buy 20 acres cheaper. But you can't go and make 160 sections because the council won't let you. This is the craziness of where we are. And a generation ago, a working man could get married in his early 20s, buy a house. His wife could stay home and look after the house and the children. And over the next 30 years, he could pay the mortgage off. That is inconceivable for a Kiwi now to do that. Inconceivable even if they're both working.
Yeah, it's like the working class quality of living from 50, 60 years ago is now considered a luxury.
Yeah. And what does it mean? It means that we've hollowed out the middle class in New Zealand. So you don't have that home ownership and that stake in New Zealand. They're having to rent. And you've gone back, to my mind, to the olden days when you had lords and ladies. Because you have people that are on the property ladder and have been able to leverage themselves on the property ladder and have got 10 houses for rent. And you've got people that have been unable to get onto the property ladder and will rent for the rest of their lives, who will never get ahead, who will never get money, and will struggle week to week. That's what's happened to New Zealand. It's extraordinary. Or they won't get married, or they won't start a family, or they'll struggle to have a family. Like it just won't hold together because of the pressures that they're being put under financially. And that has huge political ramifications because we've gone from a voting population that was independent and strong-willed and were getting ahead and could see a way ahead to people who are fearful of the future, who can't hold and form a family and can't own property, and they are dependent and fearful and vote to be even more dependent because the idea of freedom now scares them. And so there's your Labour voter. there's your Green voter. And of course, you have your ideological Labour voters and your ideological Green voters who actually vote to make themselves poor. It's unbelievable. And it's much bigger than that, because half the National Party voters are the same, because their policies are no different. So we've lost that huge can-do, we can make it happen as a community, we can make it as a family, to this terrible sense of foreboding and fear. And the only thing that'll save us is free education, free healthcare, a government that will look after me, a government that will give me a pension. And of course, there's that old saying that a government that will give you everything you want will take from you everything that you have. And I think we see that now.
So, yeah, it comes back to activism and media. I think, you know, we have to get the word out there about how these problems are solvable.
Yeah. Well, that's why Reality Check Radio, I'm not saying I'm right. What I'm saying is this needs to be discussed and debated. And we need to say, oh, well, that's an interesting point. I need to think about it. But this energy thing is a key to it. Land is a key to it, to the costs and the struggles of people. And it needs to be debated. But you try and write an article along these lines and get it published in the New Zealand Herald. They won't have it. And, of course, all the while, they're stirring up an argument about, what colour's your skin? What's your ancestry? Oh, did that person carry a political logo into the debating chamber? And all that fluff. Or did the minister write kia ora on an email to his Australian counterpart? All this fluff. Well, all the while, the middle class, families, and that sense of property ownership have gone down the gurgler without discussion or debate or complaint. It's extraordinary. And if it wasn't for Reality Check Radio, I wouldn't think there was an ability to recover. Because it's not that me or you or a particular listener has the answers, but we can see the problem and we can start talking about it. And if you can see a problem and you start talking about it, you're well on the way to solving it. Now, within our legacy media, you're not even allowed to see the problem, let alone to discuss it. That's how critical, to me, what you have done and the others have done, with me having a very small part, with Reality Check Radio. That's what our listeners have done, what our supporters have done. Because we're able to look at these problems and discuss them. Where else is that happening, Tane?
Yeah, probably on a few select blogs. I mean, I'd look at the Breaking Views and yes, the NZCPR, you know, people like that. They're doing good work too. But yeah, you're right.
So that's the energy thing. I think the energy, funnily enough, is easily solved in terms of engineering and physical resources, but impossible to solve until we get our political thinking right. And I'm not talking about the politicians, because the politicians are reflecting what the people are saying.
Exactly, yeah. The problem is in what the population thinks, what they know and what they don't know.
And the people have been brainwashed. And I have been brainwashed my whole life because you sort of believe the news.
Yeah, and I think to end on a positive, you know, to uplift people, raise the morale, think about how great this country could be if we did make the most of our resources and everything.
And it will be.
Enormous potential.
And it will be. Potential. And it will be, because you can't snuff out the human spirit. The human spirit, it's like a how many times in history would you be looking at your situation and thinking we're doomed? Far worse than we are now. Oh, my goodness. You know, the plague, the Black Death, World War One, World War Two. You're in a concentration camp. You're seeing the rise and rise of the Nazis. Oh, my goodness, you'd be looking at that and saying this is the end of the world. But the human spirit is so powerful, it overcomes. And we will. And our little contribution is Reality Check Radio, like I said. That was Tane Webster. Boy, did we get philosophical when we're meant to be talking about energy. I apologize. It was just the mood. And you realize that we have got such a lot here and we've been robbed of it. Send us a text, 2057, email us, inbox at Radley Check Radio. This is Real Talk with Rodney Hyde, and we were speaking with the wonderful, incomparable Tane Webster, who is truly a blessing for us all.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.